everyone, it's Angela Stevens, and I'm the podcast host to Refocus with Angela. I am so delighted to introduce you to two amazing people that you're going to meet today. They are part of the organization Disability In. We're going to learn more about that, but let me introduce both of them to you. First of all, we have Cammie Turcott. She has been with Disability In since 2012, and she's currently the senior manager of supplier engagement. She works with so many people. She works to identify and she certifies disability-owned businesses, and she's also a stakeholder engagement through the Supplier Diversity Program. We're going to go on and on and on about her, but we've also got Philip De Vlieger. And I had to learn that last name, by the way. I've learned it's Belgium, but it's Philip De Vlieger. He serves as the Vice President of Supplier Diversity at Disability In, and he develops and leads the global supply chain and supplier diversity program strategy and execution. These two are both passionate individuals. I could go on and on. We're going to learn more about them. I want to tell you how I met them. So I was at a conference and I have a disability and I have two. I'm a woman-owned business and I actually am certified as well as a Disability In member. So first of all, Cammie, Philip, thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having us, Angela.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, Angela. Great to be here.
You're welcome. So first of all, I want to just clarify something. Did I say everything right about your backgrounds? Because I know you guys do so much more than that, but that was just a quick recap about what you do. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. I think, as far as my role, I just work with Cammie, really. It's all about working with Cammie.
And I would say the same about Philip.
Let me tell you, these two really are, they work so well together. And when I was saying that I was actually looking into this, I actually chatted with Philip at a Merck disability conference, which was virtual at the time. And then he directed me to talk to Cammie, and Cammie explained the whole situation to me about their organization. So it's been the most rewarding and lovely experience of my life. And I am proud to be a part of Disability In. So I want to take a little bit first about both of you and Disability In. A lot of people think, oh, you get disability, you must be paid. And it doesn't work that way. And so I'd love it if we could just take a moment and explain to our audience what Disability In is. So Cammie, let's take you first. If you could kind of give us a rundown on that, that would be great.
Yeah. So Disability In, first of all, the disability community as a whole, I think there's a lot of confusion around what that looks like, what that means. But Disability In is a global nonprofit that basically works to educate corporations and entities on disability inclusion across the enterprise. So what that means is we work everywhere from HR to benchmarking to talent acquisition, supplier diversity, and so forth. Everything is really inclusive of the disability community when we look at it from a business standpoint, so business to business.
So Disability In, as Cammie mentioned, is an organization that helps our stakeholders, which primarily are private sector corporations and businesses like yours, Angela, to become more disability inclusive within their practices and policies. And a large part of the work that Cammie and I do work with companies to ensure that they're inclusive of businesses owned by people with disabilities in their supply chain. So they're buying from these diverse businesses, and we want to make sure that those diverse businesses include disability-owned businesses as well.
And I think you said that beautifully, because if you look at the list of companies that support your organization, it's large companies like, Merck and Pepsi, a lot of large companies, but also the small organizations like myself. I'm a small business, but I have a consumer product in major stores. And there are, there's growing pains, right, with a small business. And being associated with this group has just been so rewarding. I could go on and on and on about that. However, you guys do monthly meetings where you will bring in guests and you will interview them and they give some feedback on opportunities, because, it's interesting. you don't realize it, but companies buy a lot of things. We were just on a call yesterday, and the woman that was speaking was talking that we buy, video production, we buy office supplies, we buy equipment. There's a lot of things that people don't realize, and they give the people that have the disability and certificate a way to have a chance at getting some of that business. Is that correct? Would you say?
Yeah, I think so. And when you talk about those disability-owned businesses and that certificate, that's the work that CAMI does around the certification of those businesses. So that certification is basically a way to validate that that business is who they say they are, right? So when we have large corporations, dedicated to including diverse businesses within their procurement practices, they want to ensure that when they say these are diverse businesses, that they actually are. So that's the reason behind certification. So we certify those businesses that are owned by people with disabilities.
Correct. And, you know, compared to other organizations, we're certified with WeBank. Just to give you a little bit of our audience an example, with WeBank, you have to be 51% owned as a woman-owned business. There's things that you have to do for that organization. It's the same with Disability End. There's a strict criteria of the things that you have to do. But if, you know, it's very interesting. And people, I'll be quite honest, when I looked at joining this, I looked at my staff and I said, you know, that organization is for people who really need it. And why me? And I'll be quite honest, I have ADHD and I rated as high as my son did. And our company is kind of circled around that, which that's not surprising. But however, I also have neurogenic thoracic outlet syndrome, which is a chronic pain from my neck to my fingertips, but no one knows it. And so what I learned from that is when I called around and I asked people, I'll never forget, someone said, I don't look as disability as something that is visual. That changed my life right there. And then when I asked my staff, I said, I just don't feel worthy of something like this. And they even said, look, you're a great leader. You have a disability. You could learn a lot and maybe you could encourage some others. Those two statements changed my life and my image of what you do. So first of all, congratulations to having such a great organization. CAMI, when did the organization actually start?
Roughly the early 90s, and it actually stemmed out of a president's committee. So it wasn't necessarily like a federal agency, if you will, but it was like a committee off to the side that actually took form as a nonprofit later on in its journey.
Great. Great. I wasn't for sure about that. I wanted to ask that question. So let me, this podcast is all about focusing and we're going to nail down on this area. So I don't know about you two, but there are days that I'm not focused. And I'd like to ask each of you, when you have those days, what do you do on a daily basis? Let's say you get up, you're starting your day, and maybe it's an impairment, you know, that you're struggling. Like for mine, if it's chronic pain, how do you focus? Because as I said earlier, as we were talking before the podcast, people that are in this group, we try harder. We have to work harder, right? So how on your day-to-day basis, just as you're getting up and getting ready for work, how do you both focus and get your day going? I'll ask you, Philip, first.
Oh my gosh. So I can join the ADHD club with you, Angela. So that is one of my non-apparent disabilities, along with multiple others. My mind is always going, like it's always racing, right? And I'm always thinking. So I try in the morning to kind of step back from that if I can, and just not focus necessarily on anything. So that could be, you know, just sitting with my two dogs, having my cup of coffee, watching the news, and then kind of diving into the work that I need to do for the day. But I kind of take a moment to kind of just chill, right? Just calm the mind and the thoughts that are continually racing on the things that I need to do and what needs to be accomplished today, what's going to happen next week. I mean, it's kind of constant. But, you know, one other thing, and I know you'll love this, I use your notepads on a regular basis.
They're the best. That's our to-do list legal pads. And I'm so happy you like them. But yeah.
So, you know, I'm like old school, right? So I like write things down. I don't necessarily go on my computer and like use apps that I probably should be using to organize my time. I have the notes like on my desk, the mm-hmm. to-do list on my desk.
They're visual.
And they're visual. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm used to. That's what I've always been used to. And I continue to use tools like this, which I think are incredibly valuable for me.
I love that. Tammy, what about you?
Yeah. So I'm kind of the complete opposite of Philip. I have anxiety, which I've done therapy. I take medication and I've done some things for. And mine, you know, for me, structure is everything. So kind of having an understanding of what's going to happen that day, that week. I also have two teenage boys who have incredibly busy lives. So trying to find balance with their schedule and my schedule. So for me, it's getting up early. If I have my teenage boys, getting them out the door and then starting my day. I also am big on exercise. So whether that's going outside for a walk or going in the gym first thing before my day starts, those are kind of things I can control. So that for me is a great way to start my day or week off. So I would say those are big things. I also live and die by my calendars. So for me, my work calendar and my personal calendar are all integrated. And so being able to kind of track what's going on personally and professionally kind of helps me have that piece of control in a chaotic and crazy world that we live in. So I think those are probably my two big things, is exercise and kind of very much having structure to it. But, you know, I think as busy professionals, you just know that sometimes things are going to come up. So just trying to have a state of peace, that some days are going to be more chaotic than others when fires arise. And just trying to find, if you need that 5 seconds to kind of step away, take a few deep breaths, and then go back to your computer. Helps a good bit too. So those are kind of my balance.
I love that. I always say, sometimes we always get busy. You have to stop, take a moment and refocus. So I always even have to say that to myself. So talk to me a little bit about your members, because I don't know if you may know this question or not, but what are your members? What do they struggle with? Because I can tell you what I struggle with, and I got to tell you, I get 55,000 emails all the time. So mine is like managing my emails, but what do other members struggle with? And you may or may not know this.
So when you say members, Angela, I'm thinking that you mean like our suppliers, right?
Like, yes, like
companies
myself.
Like
yes.
Yours, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And we kind of touched on this a little bit ago around just the whole perception of disability, right? That oftentimes when people hear the word disability, they think of those things that they can see, like the person who is blind or the person who is deaf or the person who uses a wheelchair. But they rarely think about all of those non-apparent disabilities that are part of the disability landscape. So all of our suppliers that are certified with disability in, including yourself, kind of have this whole range of disabilities and needs specific to their own condition. So it's so diverse and varied among all of our suppliers that are part of our organization, that you know, we are a tight-knit community, and I think very supportive of each other. So all of these suppliers kind of understand that there is a place for us, you know, for them within our community, and that they'll be supported because of who they are. And who they are is also their disability. That's a big part of their identity. So I think that's the one cool thing about our community, is that it's so incredibly welcoming and supportive of anybody and everybody.
Yeah, I would say that Philip kind of covered most of it, but I think one of the most important things for me is, because most of the work I do is engagement, right? So I'm supporting our corporate partners and our suppliers, is really understanding like when there are challenges for the supplier base, because they're very different from a corporate stakeholder group from and a supplier stakeholder group, right? Is understanding where their challenges lie, how we can help support them, advocate for them, and really kind of lend a helping hand. That's really a lot of what my job is kind of talking through suppliers, what their challenges are, how they want to utilize their certification, you know, and kind of supporting them so that when they have these, you know, whether they're unique or very common challenges, meaning, you know, is it unique to that supplier based on their disability or disabilities? Or is it something common thread throughout all the small businesses where they're struggling to get a foothold into a potential client or capital, kind of understanding where the nuances are and then helping, you know, backstop them, support them, and provide a little bit of insight, maybe reframing on how to look at it, how to approach it. And it's almost like a problem solving yeah. solution type scenario on a daily basis. Do I have all the answers? Absolutely not. But I'm going to try and think outside the box to come up with unique ways of approaching a situation to try and, you know, help them kind of either further what it is they're trying to do mission-wise or help them be a little more successful in that area. So I think, again, you're going to have a lot of, you know, a lot of similarities with small business because we hear a lot about needing capital, needing connections or networking. But a lot of our businesses have unique disabilities where it's a cognitive or neuro-based situation. And there are certain things like too many graphics in an email. So like for me, I try to keep everything very plain Jane, very non-HTML text-based, just so that it's not too overstimulating for those people who it does affect in that way, shape, or form. So little things like that can go a long way. But I think, again, as Philip stated, with such a diverse community, it's really kind of hard to put everything in one box as the biggest challenge per se.
Right. I agree. And also one thing, if anyone is interested in being a part of your organization, I would first say that you two are always available. There's never been one time I've called you and said, do you have a minute? And it's either that day or the next. You always are so helpful. But I want to clarify something. Not everyone can do this. And we're very fortunate if we're able to be a supplier. But in terms of that, can you tell us the requirements? Because I know you have to have a physician's letter stating this. You can't just say, hey, I have this. So walk us through a little bit, like if there's someone that's interested in being a supplier, first of all, what do they need to do to apply?
Yeah, I'll take the lead on that one. So I know you know this, Angela. The standard really for diverse owned business certifications is 51% operated, owned, managed, and controlled. Those are really kind of the three or four main bullet points when somebody's interested in certification as a whole. With our organization, person or persons that are applying that have to comprise that 51% or more stakeholder have to have a disability or disability. So it doesn't have to be one person, it could be two, three, four that make up that majority ownership, but they have to be able to document that disability. And there are a number of ways to do that. The physician's form that you mentioned is one of them. For service connected veterans, they can submit their disabilities ratings letter along with their DD-214. We have state and federal level type of documentation we accept, voc rehab. We have five or six options roughly. So there are opportunities there for businesses to apply if they have like a diagnosis that happened due to a learning disability back in school. They can submit their IEP, right? Because that's not something that's going to be diagnosed later on per se. So things like that they can utilize to use within their certification when we talk about documentation of disability. They also need to be a permanent resident, permanent resident or citizen of that country they're applying in. So we're also actually certifying outside the US now. So if they're coming to us from like the UK or India or Canada or one of those other markets, they would just need to show documentation around their citizenship or permanent residency. And then we're also going to want to make sure that they're headquartered in that country as well. So those are really kind of the three main bullet points if a company's interested in applying that they would have to hit. And again, that is the standard, whether it's women-owned, disability-owned, minority-owned, LGBT, and so forth. So it's not something that we're doing that's any different than any other organization is.
Okay. So now let's flip that just for a second. If there's a company that wants to support Disability Inn, what do they have to do that? Because there may be companies that say, I love this. I really want to support Disability Inn. And I know you'd love to talk with them. What do they need to do to go about doing that?
I think from a corporate partner standpoint, so these are the other stakeholders besides those certified suppliers that we serve. You know, it's a matter of becoming a partner with Disability Inn at whatever level they wish to become a partner at. And based on that level, it, you know, kind of provides them with different benefits, you know, throughout the year and certainly at our annual conference. So it would just be a matter of getting engaged with us and helping us advance disability inclusion within not only their company, but the whole business community.
Wonderful. And then in terms of your suppliers, so talking to the partners or the partners that are coming in as companies, but the suppliers, I always say it's the hardest working group I've ever met in my life. Would you have anything to add on to that? Or does that sum it up right there?
It is a hard working group, I will tell you. And, you know, and also innovative and nimble and agile and ready and willing to, you know, to solve problems. Because as individuals with disabilities, we've always tried to, throughout our lives, navigate a world that may not be designed for us. So we're always coming up with solutions that help us to navigate. And the same would apply to, you know, a business owner. They're always looking for different ways to solve a company's problem. And I think that's what sets us apart from other small businesses, is that we have that exceptional, innovative ability because of who we are.
I love that. And I want to add on to something because I met several members. I would say that they're always helping others. They're always helping each other because I noticed that in our meetings, they'll offer support to someone. But they also, because we've all had our challenges in one way or another, and we have empathy for other people. Because we, you know, I'll never forget, I was at a WeBank convention and someone asked me if I was going to the Disability Inn conference. And I, at that time, I didn't know. And she said, well, I'll be there. And she said, you probably don't know this, but I'm deaf in one ear. And you would never know that. And she was so kind and so supportive. That just shows you the spirit of your organization, which is so wonderful. And I really do love that. And it's great. They don't overload you. You have meetings every month. You can go. If you can't go, they send you a recording. I could go on and on and on and on. And they really try to help you, whatever you're struggling with as a business owner. It's hard enough to be a business owner. Right? It's got its own challenges. And they just might have a resource that's a member or a partner that they can go to, that they can get some help. Because it really, you've got some great people that want to be a part and want to help. What have I forgot? There's so much about your organization that is going on. What's new right now in terms of what you guys are doing? I know you have an annual conference, right? I know you guys attend a lot of different conferences, but anything new that's going on that people should know about?
Oh, goodness. I guess I'll try and field this one. I would say right now, kind of the name of the game is growth. Our organization as a whole, our supplier diversity program, which is where our suppliers sit and a lot of our corporate professionals sit, is growing immensely. Not just from a partner standpoint or Adobe standpoint, but our footprint is growing outside the US, which is huge. It's huge. A process, right?
I didn't even know that. So that's great information.
Yeah. We're currently in India, UK, Canada. And then I think the plan is, and Philip will correct me if I'm wrong, is to head into South and Central America, Asian Pac, and Australia, I think.
That's so exciting.
There's some very
that's
large
some new big ones. News. That's some big news. Big news. Yeah. And that's awesome. And, you know, I just want to make a comment, you know, in our business, we're getting ready to do something really exciting. I'll mention it here in just a minute, but we're going to be with Good Morning America's online portal in a few weeks. And before we started this podcast, the first thing that Cami and Philip mentioned was, when is that happening? Which is October 23rd, but when is it happening? Because we really want to help get that out. And that just shows you right there, the spirit of not only the organization, but the people who run it. And I think you both deserve so much credit for that. And I just can't say enough great things about that. But I have one last big question for both of you. And I'm going to start with you, Cami. All right. So, you know, we all get nervous and we all get, you know, we're not focused in life or whatever. But let's say you have to go present somewhere and you have to talk about either your career or disability in or something. But it's one of those days. You're just not yourself. But what is it when you get in your car and you're driving to that meeting? What is the song or the genre or the type of music that you listen to that gives you game on?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would say right now it's probably anything by Chris Stapleton, but he's got a song out called White Horse right now that's pretty strong, and it kind of gets you going. So I would say that that would probably be my song, or if I had to pick an artist, Chris Stapleton. Yeah. But that's probably it for me.
Love that. And he's amazing in concert. I saw him. So he's
a powerhouse.
He's really good. Yeah. Okay. And Philip, what about you?
Oh, it's so hard. So my taste in music is wide ranging, right? Like
I know you like hip hop, right? Is that right? I'm joking. I asked him that.
No,
before.
But yeah, but kind of, yeah. Like I appreciate like a lot of different music.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of grew up in the 70s mm-hmm. and appreciate bands like Queen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously Elton John was mm-hmm. a big part of the 70s. And even looking back at like the 60s and the 50s, I can appreciate that kind of music. So, you know, like, I don't know, the Supremes.
These boots are made for walking.
Right. Nancy Sinatra. These boots are made for walking. I love that. So yeah. I can appreciate all of that. But you know, if I need to kind of like focus,
yeah.
It's not necessarily with music. I'm typically tuned into like the news channel on mm-hmm. my radio. Mm-hmm. Just to be sure that I'm in tune with what's happening in our world. Mm-hmm. And then traffic, you know, that is often, you know, part of that, you know, yeah. broadcast. So yeah, it's important. Yeah,
definitely.
Especially in the DC area, you know, knowing where the traffic is.
And the news, I mean, it gives you up on what's going on in the day,
yeah.
especially if you've been busy somewhere else and you're not focused and you want to be on top of it. You know, it's something where it brings you around. And it's interesting because you said the 50s and the 60s. I just have to ask you if you know this song, because I had to look it up on my playlist. Yeah. Do you know Dodie Stevens?
No.
Oh.
I think I do.
Oh, so my mother, Dodie Stevens, I think it is. You can look it up. It's called Pink Shoelaces. My mother loves it. We have to listen to it every time, and it's a hoot. So there you go. There's your tips for the day. Anyway, but both of you, like I said, I think you're both amazing. I think the organization is phenomenal. I have owned a 30-year executive search firm prior to starting my business, Refocus the Creative Office. And let me tell you, if I had known about you when I had my other firm, and I still have it, but when I knew that, I would have joined in a minute, but I didn't know about you. So I hope this podcast helps you to attract even more people that can be helped. And let me tell you, if you're listening to this and you're on the fence, take it from me as a supplier. It's the best decision you will ever make. So thank you both. We will put all the notes in our podcast. So if you're interested in learning about it, they are, Disability Inn is a nonprofit organization. So I know that they would love your support in any way, whether it's funding or whatever you can do. If you're a business, you want to support the company, check that out. We will put all of that information out there for you. But Cami, Philip, thank you so much for doing this today. We're so gracious for your time.
Thank you so much, Angela. It was great.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus, the Creative Office. We create products that help you focus and refocus. We've got over 36 products. You can find us at Amazon, Walmart, Wayfair, Staples.com, and 200 Staples stores. You can find us at Oriental Trading, Michaels.com, Newegg, eBay, a lot of different places, and also our own website, which is time2refocus.com. If you haven't checked out our website lately, check it out because we've got some new things on there. First of all, our 2024 annual calendars are just coming out now. We've only got so many, so definitely want to pre-order those as soon as you can. Our academic calendars, we've still got some left. Those are really selling fast. And also, we're doing something new. If you have kids that are in college, and you're a parent, let me tell you, I'm a mom, and I've sent care packages of very high cost for very little. We decided to create some really cool care packages. We've got three different levels, and we create those also for self-care packages, but we also have them for students. So check them out. They're pretty cool. And there's pictures on our website. So time2refocus.com. No matter what you're going through, don't forget to stop, take a moment, and refocus.